Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. This is Joyce Kyle, the Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. And thank you so much for joining us again on another broadcast of Boots on the Ground Blog Talk Radio Show. If this is your first time tuning in with us, welcome, welcome, welcome. Can you all hear me okay? Sharice, are you on the line still?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I've got a line saying that it was waiting on me to jump on the air and see if I can make sure that we're fine. If not, I may have to start over again just because it seems like we're having some technical difficulties with that. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and just have you to hang up, and I'll cue you for you to call back into the show.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Greetings, everyone. Thank you so much for your patience. This is Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. And thank you so much again for being patient. We just had a few technical difficulties, but we are back on track. We are on the air. This is Boots on the Ground Blog Talk Radio Show. And I do have the privilege and the honor to present this week's special guest. Sharice Scott is the founder and CEO of Sister Reach, and she is just a multifaceted, multi-talented individual, a true trailblazer, just a powerhouse speaker. I love her dearly. We don't get an opportunity to spend as much time interacting with one another as I would like, but that's because we are doing what we enjoy doing, and that's being boots on the ground in our respective areas of expertise. So I am so honored and pleased to be able to go forward with this show and present to you all today, Ms. Sharice Scott. So, Sharice, thank you and welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm here. How are you?
I am great now that we're up and running and ready to roll. I'm just going to jump right in since we lost a few minutes. I'm just going to jump right in and have you tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself and about Sister Reach, and specifically how Sister Reach came to be. So for the next few minutes, the floor is yours.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for Boots on the Ground for having us here, and so glad to be in partnership with Walking Into a New Life and just the amazing work that you all are doing. So thanks so much. So a little bit about myself. I guess, you know, to talk about what I do, I guess it does make sense to talk about kind of what brought me to this particular type of work. Well, my personal journey leading me to the work began after I was trying to find a place that would give me a safe and legal abortion. And after looking in the Yellow Pages, I came upon an ad that stated, you know, need an abortion, call us. An hour into that visit, I realized that I was not actually at an abortion clinic, but at a crisis pregnancy center instead. And a crisis pregnancy center is a facility that offers adoption to women as an alternative to abortion, which is totally fine, except for I wasn't there for that. So my experience actually was a bit traumatizing. And so I later ended up meeting a reproductive justice advocate who I actually met at a party, who was a friend of a friend, and I overheard what she was doing in the community, teaching women about their reproductive health and understanding their fertility, some of the advocacy that she was doing, and she called it reproductive justice, and I was so excited to figure out, like, what was that about? But she ended up recruiting me to volunteer at an organization, and I volunteered there for a couple years. Then I was asked to serve on the board, and I did that for a few years. And then after that, a position for a health educator and campaign coordinator came available at the organization, and she offered me the opportunity to work at the organization as an employee. And so I definitely leaped at that chance because the organization had made such an impact on my personal life. You know, she took me in and she taught me about and took me in the respect of where she became a mentor, and she taught me about my body and helped me understand my fertility. You know, it was just so amazing that it was just basic fundamental information that I did not understand, and once I understood it, I was able to move forward in a different way, definitely more informed and more empowered about my body. And having an opportunity to work at her organization gave me an opportunity to pay that back to other women. And at that time, I was still living in Chicago. And then I had an opportunity to come back to Memphis, move back home, and but realized that there was no kind of organization doing what had, you know, what that organization did for me in Chicago, but still recognizing that we still have an issue around unplanned pregnancy here in the city, and especially among women of color. And because, of course, Memphis is over 60% African American, in this particular situation, it's going to be mostly Black women who need this type of education, and not just Black women, but Black women and girls and boys who need this type of education about their bodies, trying to figure out how to navigate their bodies. And so I was able to start Sister Reach in 2011. And we are a grassroots 501c3, and we're working to support the reproductive autonomy of women and youth of color, poor and rural women and their families through that framework of reproductive justice. And just, you know, for your listening audience, reproductive justice is a new framework, and I would say new as in it's only about 21 years old in the grander scheme of feminist movements. And it's a theoretical framework for capturing all women's lived experiences, and it compels a different approach to advocacy and to movement building. And so it's centered on three kind of interconnected sets of human rights that rest on sexual autonomy and agency for women, meaning the right to have children and through the use of safe birth control, abortion or abstinence, the right to have children under the conditions that we choose. So for that could mean having a midwife or a home birth, as opposed to having to go to the hospital and deliver the baby at the hospital, or not necessarily feeling empowered to say, no, I don't want to have a C-section, I want to have a VBAC, you know, regular vaginal delivery. So just the right to be able to choose the types of conditions and how we have our kids. And then it's also the right to parent the children that we have in safe and healthy environments without fear from individuals or the government. And so in a time of Black Lives Matter and in a time where we see a lot of nation and kind of state violence against immigrants and these types of things, we think about these types of issues, or, you know, as far as like fear from the government or fear that you're going to be, you know, in trouble because of something that's around your, you know, or something that is connected to your reproductive health care. And so it's basically applying intersectionality to reproductive politics to achieve human rights. So it's a human rights framework that we're trying to do here in the community. And for the last 10 years, I've had the honor of doing this type of work.
And you do the work extremely well.
Thank you.
Thank you, first of all, for just being so honest and transparent about how you came into this work in the first place. One thing that I enjoy about hosting Boots on the Ground is because it allows an opportunity for people to share as little or as much about themselves as they choose to, and not have put into this neat little package with sound bites and the things that we think are best suited for the audience, because people need to really hear, see, and know the real stories, the real reasons why we do what we do, because someone else in the audience may be going through that same thing, and they're confused, and they're not sure, and they don't know if other people can relate to what their situation is. The other thing that I wanted to quickly point out is that I'm glad that you really spent time talking about what reproductive justice is, because we spend a lot of time in our society talking about economic justice and social justice, but I'll be honest, I've never really thought about reproductive justice and what that looks like, what it means, how to go about it, and even with the work that I do in domestic violence, this is very important.
That's right.
Because sometimes the women who have gotten pregnant have done so as a result of rape, you know, and this may be something that they didn't want, didn't plan, you know, so it might not necessarily be a case of rape, but, you know, life circumstances come about, and we need to know that we have options, and we need to be
Absolutely.
Able to explore those options without judgment. One
and
the other
fear, for
I
sure.
I do want to point out, absolutely, and definitely fear.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to make sure that people know that Sister Reach is the only
mm-hmm.
reproductive justice center in the state of Tennessee. So
mm-hmm.
that, I think, is huge to share. So that's a good segue for you to share with our listening audience, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
How can a person reach you if they have questions, they have concerns,
mm-hmm.
They're looking for guidance on what to do?
Mm-hmm.
How do they reach the reach?
Absolutely. Well, we're definitely on the web. Folks can reach us at sisterreach.org, and that's SISTERREACH.org. And we've got a couple of different ways that folks can get involved. Folks can be volunteers, and folks can do internships, or folks just kind of want to, you know, if there's expertise that folks would like to lend support, we do all types of things. Some of the work that we're doing in the community is providing comprehensive reproductive and sexual health education, just really anywhere that folks let us come, right? Because we don't have comp sex ed in our schools right now. And like I said, you know, the
no,
way that I came
don't.
To this work was we don't. And I came to the work as a woman who needed an abortion. But just let's just dial it back. Now imagine if I would have known about my body, how I may not have needed an abortion, right? And so that's the whole piece
right,
for us
right.
is we want to make sure that, you know, it's just like in the HIV world where there's prevention work and there's intervention work. For us, prevention work means educating people about their bodies. And as far as we're concerned, sex education is as important to healthcare as healthcare is to people. And so we want to make sure that people have access to all of the information about their body so that they can make informed decisions and know how to navigate some of those situations, especially like along with your work specifically in domestic violence and sexual assault. You know, some of the work that we teach in our comp sex ed work is understanding what a healthy relationship actually is, understanding, you know, self-love, understanding before you even enter into a relationship with a person, that you've had some type of grounding within yourself to understand yourself and your body and what healthy boundaries look like. So we do that. And so folks can reach out to us via our website. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, all at Sister Reach. Or folks, if they want to email and let us know about what they're doing or reach out to us, they can definitely reach us by going by using contact us at sisterreach.org.
Mm-hmm. So there are a number of different ways that you all
mm-hmm.
can reach out to Sheree Scott and Sister
mm-hmm.
Reach to learn
mm-hmm.
more about the organization. And we're going to be sharing that information on our site as well as on our different social media platforms as well. So there's no reason that you cannot get the information that you need. You know, and I love
Absolutely.
The fact that you're speaking about awareness and action. That's something that I am very big on. You know, we
mm-hmm.
have to make sure that people are aware that options are available and that there are people who care about
mm-hmm.
what's going on with them in whatever capacity it is that you work, whether it's like with me with domestic violence and sexual assault, or with you with
mm-hmm.
reproductive justice, if it's homelessness, if it's human trafficking,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is
mm-hmm.
that's your passion, we have to make
mm-hmm.
sure that people are aware and educated. But then once we've done that, we've got to do the follow-through and the follow-up
That's right.
and putting that into action. And one of the things
mm-hmm.
that I know that you are doing in terms of putting it into action to make it visible for others to see is your billboard. And I just
mm-hmm,
saw
mm-hmm.
one Saturday? Saturday night, I was on my way
okay.
to an event, and I saw one. And I said, there's Sheree.
Awesome.
So
yes,
I
the billboard
love it.
Campaign is serious.
It is. And if you don't mind
yeah.
sharing with us for just a moment, how did you make that happen? Because I see those all the time. And I guess
right.
because I know you personally, I just,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I saw that, I felt like that was a win for me, too. So how did you
That was
how
a win
get
because
involved
it is, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, the whole kind of story behind the billboards was really in response to some anti-abortion billboards that had been erected in different black neighborhoods in Memphis in the spring by an organization called Pro-Life Across America. And, you know, they were pretty harmless in intent, but because we knew of the type of billboards and we'd been doing this type of work before, we already knew what the kind of message was. And so the message just targeted black fathers and basically, you know, was like an indirect message to talk about fatherhood as it related to preserving black babies,
mm-hmm.
kind of indirectly
mm-hmm.
shaming black mothers about having an abortion. And so our piece was, okay, if you want to talk about the high rates of abortion that we have here in Shelby County, then there's no way that you can have that conversation in a vacuum. Women have abortions for so many different reasons. There was a reason that I was trying to have the one that I was trying to have 10 years ago, 13 years ago now, when I was seeking an abortion out. But basically, women arrive at these situations for all types of reasons. What I think is really important that we've got to remember is the same women who seek out abortions are the same women who are fighting for $15 an hour of a living wage, for, you know, working at fast food restaurants. These are the same women who
yes.
do not have health care in the state of Tennessee. These are the same women who have had child care benefits cut by the state. And so when you have a lot of issues going on in your life that impact your economic well-being and your housing, your ability to feed yourself, your ability to get back and forth from work or from school, sometimes trying to figure out whether or not you're going to have a baby or you realize that you're pregnant could be the absolute best thing that's happening for your life or the absolute worst thing that's happening for your life. Not that babies are a bad thing as much as it is failing to plan or being in a situation where you didn't have an opportunity to plan, like if it was rape or if it was incest or some type of situation like that. And so the billboards were basically erected to shame black women. Our whole piece was to make sure if you're going to come into the neighborhoods and say that we're having a lot of abortions, then what are you also doing to fight to make sure that we have comprehensive sex education for all youth across the state of Tennessee? Because right now all we have is abstinence education. And what we do know is that abstinence education has proven to fail in teaching young people about how to navigate relationships and whether or not to use, you know, contraception, when to use it, how to use it properly, what's
right.
the best type of, you know, those types of things. And so we put those billboards up basically to change the narrative, to say trust black women. Trust us to make the best decisions for ourselves and our families and our communities, that we don't need anybody who is an outsider to come into our communities and tell us about ourselves or what we need to do to fix ourselves, when those same dollars that came to shame us are some of the same dollars that go into other issues that, you know, that perpetuate the ways in which we have disparities, including the fact that we don't have access to the contraception that we would like through the Affordable Care Act, because Tennessee has not expanded Medicaid, or the fact that our young people don't have access to the right types of sex education, and so they're just really left, you know, prey to whomever and whenever they feel like, you know, having sex with our children. Our children aren't just trying to figure out how to navigate sex with one another, but they're also trying to figure out how to navigate sex with grown people. And so what happens in those situations yeah. when people get raped or people are having unprotected sex is that sometimes folks need an abortion. And so for us, we don't, you know, instead of trying to shame a medical procedure, something that is safe and legal, we're saying that trust us. Let's shift the conversation back on what it really ought to be shifted on, is our lived experience. So we've got four different billboards up in the city. One basically says that we don't, you know, I don't deserve to be shamed because I've had an abortion. Another says that, you know, something that my mommy needs, these particular things in order to thrive and survive. And so it's a picture of a baby on there, basically saying if you're going to smack a black baby on the billboard, then it better be culturally competent and say that in order for my mother
all
to
right,
truly
mom.
Thrive and survive, you know, she needs to have, make sure that there are robust schools for me to attend. And she needs to have,
transportation to get back and forth to work, and she needs to have, you know, a job that pays a living wage, and she needs to have a safe environment for us to live, and, you know, and. And
absolutely.
So the whole, you know, so that was the piece for us, is that we want to lift up the lived issues that, that a lot of times back mothers and families and husbands and boyfriends all into a corner of why we can't have our babies. And a lot of times for us, and then let's also think about this other piece in this time of Black Lives Matter, where we have so much violence against black bodies, you know, for some black women, an abortion is an act of mercy. You know, like you,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm going to bring a child into a society that's not going to educate that child properly, that's not going to make sure that that child is emotionally, mentally, physically prepared for society, because it has not invested in me to make sure that I can prepare that child for those issues and those situations. And then my child just very well may have to deal with some level of police brutality or violence. And so, you know, so again, you know, there's so many reasons that women arrive at needing these types of health services. We just want to make sure that black women in particular in this city can make those decisions with dignity and not with shame and blame and being vilified when we already know the economic conditions that a lot of us are facing here in the community, in, you know, all of us, you know. So because I say very all the time that we are the women that we serve here at Sister Reach, you know, we there's no big I's and little U's. We are the women from the community trying to help other women in the community change her life and make some different decisions so that she doesn't have to go through some of the things that we had to go through, walk some of the, you know, walk in that path that we've walked. And so that's what we're, you know, that's what we're about. Mm-hmm. That's what the billboards are definitely about.
Well, I am, like I said earlier, I'm just so pleased to see them. And when I see them, I take a certain pride in it myself, just because
yes,
it
ma'am.
Is allowing the community to see that there's options and that there's no
mm-hmm.
shame, or there shouldn't be any
mm-hmm.
shame. And before you question why I'm doing what I'm doing, maybe you need to
mm-hmm.
know and understand my background, my demographic. And
absolutely.
If you took the time to do that, then you may have a different perception about me and about the choices that I'm making. And I'm
that's
so
right.
glad that you mentioned that, because that's one of the things that I talk about. And when I speak about domestic violence, and people always say, you know, well, why don't you just leave? Or why didn't they just leave? Leave, leave, leave. And my thing with that is, go where and do what? Have
that's
you
right. That's right.
Properly educated those individuals when it's time for them to go? Where are they going? How are they going to sustain themselves? You know, do they have a job? Do they have children? If so, how many? How many are boys? How many are girls? You know, what are their ages? All those things. Do you have a high school diploma?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have transportation? You
That's right.
have so many different levels to that blanket statement of just leave, because it's not always that simple. And so
right.
as we are going through that process, leaving may be the right answer, but making
mm-hmm.
sure that people understand how to do it safely, and how to do it
mm-hmm.
in a way that will allow you to be able to continue to thrive. Because if we
That's
just
right.
keep victim blaming and making people feel bad about their choices and we're not offering them any help, you know, we're going to always have this cycle. And I think sometimes here, you know, it's expected, and sometimes that's what is fed on,
mm-hmm.
is our fear and our ignorance, our lack of knowledge. And it's so easy,
mm-hmm.
especially in within our community, to point a finger and blame. But how many of those people who are pointing fingers are actually coming into our communities and talking with our people, you know, the people of
Absolutely.
Color?
Absolutely.
And,
and let's just be clear,
and
how many of us really
that.
Want to? That's right. And well, and my thing, too, is, I mean, you know, Superman isn't coming. We are our Superman. You know, we are
That's
the people
right.
who are going to change our community. I quite frankly, I don't necessarily want folks who don't live in my community trying to come and fix it. I want to see how we can help to empower ourselves to get this work done specifically to, you know, for ourselves in our own communities. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, some of the work that we do in the community is, you know, definitely having like community dialogues, you know, talking, having, doing civic engagement work,
different types of strategies of engaging community members and stakeholders like the faith community and, you know, folks who either are part of the change or who can help the change happen. We want to make sure that everybody's a part of those conversations and changing what those dynamics really look like. So any opportunity that we're, you know, where we can do any of our education work or any of our policy and advocacy work, we're definitely trying to be there. Arts and culture work, whatever, you know, whichever part of, you know, our work that we can, you know, that we can offer in these different settings, it's really, you know, it's really important. And, you know, like I said, I'm really intentional about making sure that the women and people who are most affected not only are the ones who are centered in the work, but are also leading the work and getting it done. I just think it just means something totally different for us to be able to make this change happen on our own, in our own communities. I think that that's going to have the longer lasting effect. And it's, you know, and it's no disrespect to anybody else. It's just going to be, you know, it's something different when black mothers figure out how to help black mothers. You know, it's something else when, you know what I'm saying, when we're asking, you know, it's a program for men and boys, but we have nothing but women running it. Well, you know, we're going to miss something as women because there's something fundamental to men and boys, you know, that on some level need that type of camaraderie and leadership. If that's what we're, you know, if that's the type of change that we're trying to have happen for us, it's reproductive health, you know, and for us, you know, she gets that reproductive justice when she doesn't have any barriers in order to make those decisions for herself and her family. If it's birth control, if she doesn't want to use a particular type of birth control, you know, if she's had 10 babies or one baby, she should not be shamed, right? But we do want to make sure that she's got the tools to make those decisions and not just having babies because she doesn't have any education about her body, you know, type of thing. So, you know, those types of situations, how do we help ourselves? And so that's definitely, as far as like kind of like, you know, empowerment among women is definitely what Sister Reach is about.
Well, Sharice, I'm going to, because our time is up, so I'm going to ask if we can have you to come back on the show maybe do a part two to this later on, because we just have so much ground to cover and not enough time in this segment to have done it. So thank you so very much for joining us on the show today.
Absolutely.
All
thanks
right.
For
well, she
me.
Has, as you heard, she's going to come back next week. Very soon. I've got
very soon. Yeah, that's fine. Let me know.
Guests are lined up, but we will definitely schedule a time that you can come back on the show and talk with us again. You all, thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Boots on the Ground Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. As always, we appreciate you tuning in each and every Monday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. This replay will be available for those of you who may have jumped in late or just want to go back and listen to the different talking points that were mentioned earlier. So thank you all so much for tuning in. Have a great night, and we will see you all next week.
Thank you, Joyce.